to time certain, item number 71.
Appeal of Kyle Bell against Portland Bureau of Transportation, posting the property located at 2370 Southeast 60th for sidewalk repairs.
The council will now take up item 71. It's time certain to conduct a public hearing on the proposed assessment associated with the remonstrances for sidewalk repair at a property owned by Kyle Bell and located at 2370 Southeast 60th Avenue. This matter is being heard by the council pursuant to Portland City Code Section 17.28.160. Note for my colleagues, this is somewhat of an unusual proceeding. It follows a different protocol than what we're used to hearing for hearings. This is the framework that has been suggested by our legal counsel and the Bureau. The council is conducting a public hearing on the proposed assessments. The council shall consider and make its determinations based on the requirements of Portland City Code, Section 17.28, and the city specifications maintained by the city engineer. The council shall affirm or modify the proposed assessments based upon its findings. The council's decisions shall then be implemented by ordinance which sets forth the council's findings and decisions. The decision of the council may be appealed to the court by writ of review. The hearing will be conducted as follows. First of all, the Portland Bureau of Transportation will have 10 minutes to make their presentation. The homeowner, Kyle Bell, will have 10 minutes to present. The Bureau will have 5 minutes to present any rebuttal information if desired. The council will then receive public testimony, which will be limited to 2 minutes per person. The council will then have an opportunity to ask questions of any of the presenters. The council is asked to hold all questions until the presentations of the Bureau and the homeowner, Kyle Bell, are concluded. And that is, of course, somewhat different from our usual protocols. Council will then make findings and a determination based on the requirements of Portland City Code Section 17.28 and the city specifications maintained by the city engineer. In making its findings, the council may do one of three things. First, either adopt the findings in the statement of findings from the Bureau, or number two, modify the findings in the statement of findings from the Bureau, or number three, adopt its own findings. The Bureau will then return to Council with an ordinance that comports with the Council's findings and determination. Legal counsel, is there anything I forgot?
No, Mayor, that was everything. Thank
you. Okay, very good. Then with that, the Portland Bureau of Transportation will have 10 minutes to make a presentation. Welcome and thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Tara Wasiak, the PBOT Maintenance Operations Group Manager, and this is my colleague Amy.
Amy Roberts, San Stephen.
Morning.
Morning.
Great. So I'm just going to give you a little background on the situation that brings us here today. On April 18th, 2016, the Sidewalk Inspection Office received a report of an unsafe sidewalk at Southeast 60th, just north of Southeast Division. And this is a photograph of that hazard. So as a matter of course, we went out to investigate that hazard, and we investigate the full block face, so all of Southeast 60th from Division to Southeast Sherman was inspected for hazards. This is done for efficiency of inspection and also to sort of keep peace in the neighborhood so neighbors don't have to call in hazards on each other on a block. So on July 18, 2016, a sidewalk repair notice was sent to Mr. Bell in accordance with Portland City Code. And per code, Mr. Bell had 60 days to obtain a permit, complete the repairs himself, or hire a contractor to do so, or request that the city make the repairs. He didn't do so, and so on July 27, 2017, a reminder letter was sent to Mr. Bell. So at the time, the estimated cost of repairs was $7,321. And this was if the city does the work for Mr. Bell. And the work is when the city does it, the work is guaranteed for 3 years. And these charges include the full block replacement. Oftentimes, property owners get approval to do minimal repairs, which can result in substantially lower costs. So the repair notice sent to Mr. Bell included a diagram that located the hazards on the sidewalk abutting his property. This is that diagram. And the repair notice also includes the standards that the sidewalk inspection team uses to identify hazards. So in this instance, in the city of Portland, we use the half-inch standard, and it often seems stringent at first glance. But from a safety standpoint, larger deviations are sort of easier to spot and therefore somewhat easier to navigate, whereas these half-inch deviations are harder to see, especially at night, and often can result in trip and falls. And this standard has been in the place in the city of Portland for at least 30 years. And Portland's not alone with this standard. Other cities use this half-inch standard. Seattle, for example, Sacramento, and even Denver has something a little bit more stringent, which is any change in the official grade of the sidewalk. So Portland is not alone. So to continue on the timeline, on August 29th, a final inspection was requested by Mr. Bell and performed, and since no work had started, the property failed inspection. On September 15th of 2017, a sidewalk inspector met with Mr. Bell, and minimal repairs and financing options were discussed at that time. In November of that year, property was posted with a door hanger by a contractor working on behalf of the city. And in December, the work was completed, and the contractor was subsequently paid for the work. So in February of 2018, Mr. Bell appeared before City Council to contest the need for repairs, the validity of the charges, and to point out that more hazardous sidewalks exist in other parts of the city. And so based on that testimony, the assessment was reviewed for accuracy, and a revised assessment and the determination of remonstrance was sent to Mr. Bell in May of 2018. So one of the contested areas was the property line on Southeast Division. You can sort of see in the tree line, you can see in the tree line there where there's a fence. So the assessment was reviewed to ensure that we were not including any repairs that went beyond Mr. Bell's property line. The other contested area was the property line on Southeast 60th. This was a little bit harder to determine if it was on his property line or not. And so it was removed from the assessment. So this is the aerial review of that hazard. And from this vantage point, it is not a part of his property, and it was removed from the assessment. So the revised assessment was sent in May of 2018, and it reduced the price to $5,599. So in June of 2018, Mr. Bell appeared before City Council for a second time, and the Sidewalk Maintenance Office was directed by Council to further investigate the situation. So from June 18th to the 29th, Mr. Bell and PBOT's Administrator of the Sidewalk Repair Contractors exchanged a series of emails, and the areas of concern include a curb repair and the placement of a door hanger by the city contractor. So there was a field decision to leave the curbs instead of requiring placement of the curbs. It was determined in the field that a saw cut of the curb could mitigate further deterioration, and it was deemed safe, and so the curb was not required to be replaced. As for the placement of the door hanger by the city contractor, this is a view of Mr. Bell's property. The door hanger was placed on the railing at the stairs, what they thought was the front of the house, but in fact, apparently the entry to the house is along the driveway to the north on 60th, and the door hanger was not placed on that door. The door hanger is not a legal obligation, it's a courtesy, and the contractor did a reasonable job to try to find the right spot. So in September of 2018, the city engineer reviewed the remonstrance of assessment and determined that the work was required by city code and that the charges were appropriate. So in recognition of the hardship that these repairs can present and in an effort to resolve the issue, the permit fee and the 10% auditor's fee were waived at that time. So the revised total is $4,825 for these repairs. And we believe that the assessment is fair and reasonable for the work that was performed. And here are some pictures of the completed work. This is Southeast Division, looking both east and west. And this is Southeast 60th, looking north. So with Mr. Bell's engagement and with the partnership of the city ombudsman, Margie Sullinger, the sidewalk repair inspection process has been improved. And the repair notices that go out, as well as the frequently asked questions that accompany those repair notices, have been updated to clarify a couple things. One, that there is no obligation to use contractors that solicit business. They do not have partnerships with the city, and so we've made it abundantly clear that property owners do not have to use contractors that contact them for the work. We also are more explicit about the possibility of making minimum repairs, and we're more explicit about the financing options that are available. And in partnership with Commissioner Udaly's office, we're also exploring new initiatives to change from a proactive inspection system to address equity concerns. Currently, we are a complaint-driven system, so exploring how we might use our resources to proactively inspect is being explored. We're also looking into new financing strategies to reduce the burden on low-income property owners. And we're developing a strategy to address repairs needed on city-owned properties. So that's the background, and that's how we got here today. And myself and Amy will be available for any questions. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And next up, the homeowner, Kyle Bell, will have his time to present. Good morning.
So it's all right.
That's right.
Yeah, that is. Yes, I have these two.
Great.
Thanks.
Do you need a copy of this?
No, I'm fine, Mayor. I'll watch.
Okay,
if I have any
very
questions.
Good.
All right.
Right.
Thank you.
Do I just begin? Okay. My name is Kyle Bell. Mayor and Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I want to start with former Commissioner Saltzman's Chief of Staff, Matt Grum, who I think is here today. And Ombudsman Margie Sullinger confirmed that Portland citizens do in fact have the right to a sidewalk appeal before the mayor and council, so I appreciate that. This forum should be considered my appeal. This is my first and only appeal. It's been stated previously by PBOT employees that I already had my appeal, and that simply is not true. I'm going to provide some background context. For years, individual homeowners have been responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of the sidewalks and curbs surrounding their home. What is not widely known is the process we go through if a citizen doesn't agree with PBOT's sidewalk assessment. What you'll hear from my experience is a changing of rules, the breaking of their own regulations, omitting work orders, adding new work, cutting corners, and creating what appeared to be a series of mistakes that I've now been saddled with their multi-$1,000 bill. There are a few things I need to make clear. I'm, of course, 100% all for safe sidewalks, free of tripping hazards, and I understand a homeowner's responsibility to that. I also completely understand a citizen in this situation has several options, as I've heard in previous times that I've talked to you. You can hire your own independent licensed contractor to replace your sidewalks. As a homeowner with a permit, you can work on your own sidewalks. we can allow the city, through their chosen outside contractor, to replace your sidewalks for two to three times the actual cost needed, and then they send you the bill. And last, we have the option to appeal the entire need to have our sidewalks worked on or replaced. The picture, I can't really see that up there, but this is a picture of my sidewalks moments, and it's in your packets. It's the very first picture. Moments before my sidewalks were torn up, they were not hazardous. They fit well within the standard of every sidewalk throughout my neighborhood and the entire Portland metro area. There are no trees along my property pushing up the sidewalks, and there are no sinkholes, no tripping hazards whatsoever. Upon receiving the PBOT sidewalk notice, of which I thought was my first, but I have been told was my second, my initial reaction that it was a mistake, and that PBOT was referring to the recently replaced sidewalk panels just up the street from my property. I have a unique easement, and continuing further on up the street, it seemed like the notice simply went to the wrong address. All of these are just pictures of my sidewalk. There are a lot of leaves, but I wasn't particularly concerned at the time, as my neighbor, a retirement center, had already done their repairs, and it simply felt like the city was a little behind on the notice, and they sent it to the wrong person. Not to mention, at this point, there was no actual paint on the sidewalks to describe what was being viewed as non-compliant. In other words, no visuals or an otherwise very normal-looking standard sidewalk, free of tripping hazards and trees. This is a description of the sidewalk that I was just talking about, where it went up my neighbor's. This is kind of highlighting what I was seeing, basically right at the end of my driveway. After receiving the second notice, but I'm told it was the third, is when I took action. I began the process of alerting PBOT of where my property lines were and where my easement was, and it was my neighbor's property, and they were sending it to the wrong address. That's when I was able to meet up with a person named Adam Hogan. We arranged a day to get together, and I wanted to show him that I didn't have any. There were no tripping hazards, no trees. So he came to my house, but he immediately walked me around to the front, where now things were actually painted out at this point. And sorry, I'm getting sort of ahead of myself. There was spray paint. They were sort of outlining these inconsequential imperfections in the concrete. In other words, there was narrow lines. Some of these are built originally designed expansion seams used to allow concrete to expand and contract with temperature change, and some small cracks, the same kind that exist in every sidewalk everywhere. No tripping hazards, no danger. It was stated in a previous council meeting by PBOT Inspector Mike Zeller that Mr. Bell didn't respond until he was marked out. When he got marked out, he responded to request a final inspection, and no work had been done. Mr. Bell came to the last assessment, and that was even said today too by Tara. This is clearly inaccurate. Who would call the final inspection when no work had been done? I called PBOT to my property to show them that I felt like they were alerting the wrong property owner. This is actually a description of what you receive when it comes in the mail. It's not all kind of put together. And the difference between looking at that versus that seemed, it didn't stand out to me as my sidewalks initially, particularly before there was any paint or anything. Mr. Hogan was the second person to inspect my sidewalk. The first inspector turned in the original report. There was no alternate fix option given to me, though that was mentioned by Tara today, that it was not discussed at all. There was nothing in the paperwork and no verbal description of minimal repairs that could be done. And the curbs were called out specifically by the original inspector and Mr. Hogan to replace them. Though I thoroughly, wholeheartedly disagree with the hazardous assessment, pardon me. A lot of talking. Looking to the city of Portland and PBOT properties as examples of compliant sidewalks only uncovered that even the city's properties didn't abide by the very sidewalk rules and regulations by which they enforce. Mr. Hogan informed me my sidewalks were called out most likely because of the neighbor's trees, which Tara also pointed out, because they will check the property that's called out, and they go down the block and around the corner. And my house is on a corner, so they went on both sides of it. It was recommended that I have a contractor come look at my sidewalks, and the contractor that I called came out. He started working up some rough numbers in his head. When I pointed out that I needed to replace the curbs, he stopped and stated, "I don't do curbs. You have to shut down a lane of division, multiple flaggers, both remove and for both the remove and rebuild, and you'll have to dig down well over a foot when removing the original chunks. It's a big job." Just going to sort of get to the sidewalk. You can see, I brought this as an example of what a curb looks like that's getting replaced. Eventually, a construction crew paid for by the city showed up unannounced and began tearing up my sidewalks. No warning, no notice. They don't pull a permit. PBOT's not required to. No door hangers a few days before construction. They didn't hang it on that corner. The corner is barred off, and it is actually a completely different zip code and address on that door. After the sidewalk construction was completed, my final inspected and officially approved, they sent me a non-itemized bill, and there's sort of no idea of what costs what. I informed Lee Munson that his crew had completed work over my 60th Avenue property line. It was this. There's this random patch of concrete that was apparently a former bus stop. This wasn't even in the sidewalk, and they claim, you know, they remove it from, the claim was that they removed it from the bill since I pointed it out. But there's no way to know that when you receive this large bill and suddenly they just kind of knock a few hundred dollars off. There's this is the property line on the other side of my property where I informed them that they also went over that property line. Along the property, if you notice on the, they had that schematic of what sort of work needed to be done. It didn't include, there's these three patches of triangles that they've added within my sidewalk where they say they don't do partial square replacements. I've ended up with three of these partial square replacements. It's written right on their website that they don't do that. This last one that's pictured right now is actually popping up slightly and has nearly become a tripping hazard already. And then the final bit. This is actually an old picture of my house from the 70s. They included this pole right here I'm highlighting because they literally were having me redo a small patch of grass around that pole that was put in by Bell Phone System or PGE or something. It was just all like it felt like there was various areas around my complete house that I was not able to take responsibility for or go beyond my neighbor's property, get to the point of the, you know, when you add up not doing the curbs, this was probably the largest stumbling block for me as a homeowner. When you're faced with how are you going to replace these, how are you going to shut down a lane, have flaggers, it becomes a near impossible task. But it's sort of, it's written here, they'll put it down as a $300 item on a bill, and it just really isn't accurate at all.
So just a point of order here. Okay. Are you close to the end of your presentation? And if not, what we could do is potentially give you a couple of extra minutes to finish up your arguments, but then I'm going to extend that same courtesy to the Bureau. Is that acceptable with legal counsel?
Yes, Mayor, it is.
Very good.
I appreciate that. Just as an example, I don't know how to get this to play. Let's see. Maybe it's... This is a guy up at the top of the frame replacing a curb. This is just me, like, videoing a random guy replacing a curb. There's a sense of the only reason I show this is because they are giving the sense that curbs were, like, an easy task. It's the main problem. If a homeowner's told you have to replace the curbs, and then PBOT goes in and decides you don't have to replace the curbs, they've made what they're calling a field decision, it changes everything. it doesn't become this task that a person, the idea of changing patches of concrete one at a time as a homeowner, though not an ideal situation, it is possible. It's squares, it's cutting squares with a saw, it's replacing cement, it's not getting in there with a jackhammer in the street, blocking out a lane. This is my new sidewalk. It's already nearly a code violation, which is that half inch. This is a thing that happens. This isn't necessarily a process that they have messed up. It's the system of measurement. It's the idea that this half inch is what's going to determine compliance or non-compliance. When you have brand new approved sidewalks that are already with only a few chipping hazards going to be non-compliant, it doesn't leave you with much wiggle room with regards to any kind of damage or anything that might occur to it, even just randomly. This is just getting briefly to, I've shown you before how just up the street, in just looking at neighbors' properties, this is Portland's property. Although a lot of it has been updated, portions of it are not. This is in front of a school. The standard, it feels like a double standard to a citizen that this is the expectation and it doesn't feel like it's being upheld on a city level. The sidewalk, I would just leave you with this. The sidewalk construction completed in my house by PBOT was not necessary. My sidewalks were not hazardous. The construction process was filled with mistakes, misleading information. There was the omissions, mysterious accountings for billing, and I don't know how they arrived at the final bill for me. I don't feel like I should have to pay for the replacement of my sidewalk. It was neither necessary or done correctly. There's even, most recently, just listening to the last presentation, there's things that just that didn't happen. Getting told you can do minimal repairs was a big one. Getting told that there was things that did happen, being told that you have to replace your curbs and then not being allowed to. That's what I'm going to leave it at.
Very good. Thank you. Next up, the Bureau will have 5 minutes to present any rebuttal information, and obviously Mr. Bell had an additional 3 minutes, so if they wanted to take a little extra time, that's fine too, just in the interest of parity. Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thanks.
Thank you. I don't have too much more to add other than just sort of a sense of scale. In the last 5 years, we've done approximately 9,000, close to 10,000 sidewalk repair notices. 84% of those are handled by the property owner. There is often times where we go out and we discuss. It's a lot of the work that we do. We discuss how we might do minimal repairs.
What's going on? Is the...
There's a light on the TV that's blocking the closed captioning, and Mr. Phillips, it's you can't see a line through it.
Is that the light coming through that window?
It's one of the blinds up there.
Can we adjust it or do something?
I'll try, ma'am.
Okay. Fortunately, it's not sunny that often. We don't have this.
Yeah, we knew the sun would impact.
One moment, Philip. We'll see if we can get it squared. Maybe there's something we can put over it. Some Mustafa in my office, in the far corner, I have some of those large sheets with the sticky stuff, and maybe we just put some up there on top of it or something.
So, Mayor?
Yeah.
Since we're hitting the pause button, I want to ask a question of legal counsel.
Certainly.
So, at what point does counsel get to ask questions of PBOT? And why wouldn't the rebuttal be a perfectly suitable time to ask questions since they've got 8 minutes? We would do that in almost any other hearing. So what's the advice you have for us?
Commissioner, the advice was to have it like, because this is an appeal hearing, was to have it where the PBOT, who I think sort of has the burden of proving to you or bringing their case forward to you, that they have time to present their case, then have some time at the end for rebuttal. my sense is it's not going to take that long, and therefore it would be. And then the plan was to open it up right after that to council questions, to both Peabot and to Mr. Bell, if you have questions from them. I also wanted to mention that if any of the council members want a copy of the city code that has the standards for the determination that you'll be making, I did bring copies of that for council.
Is that better? It's better now. He's okay.
Is it good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that okay? A little better? Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Continue, please. Sorry about the interruption.
Quickly want to just recognize to Mr. Bell's point, this is not a perfect science. What we are trying to do is make the sidewalks safe and accessible to Portland. And we do recognize that it is oftentimes a burden on property owners, and we do our best to mitigate that burden and work with them.
So questions now?
Public testimony, and that completes your rebuttal?
Yep.
Very
yes.
good.
No,
so
we get to ask questions.
Is he
gonna be
bottled?
So we get to ask
no.
questions.
No. According to what legal counsel has provided me, number four, the council will then receive public testimony, which will be limited to 2 minutes per person. Then the council will have an opportunity to ask questions.
And Mayor, that is correct. That's an order that we had put it in. I think if council wants to switch that around and ask questions before public testimony, if you feel that would be more assistance to the public, or if you'd feel it'd be more of assistance to hear public concerns and our testimony rather and then have questions, I think it's okay for council to make the decision whichever order you'd like to proceed in.
I'd rather ask them now while they're fresh in my mind. I have no idea how many people have signed up to give testimony.
Very good. And I'll assume, Commissioner Fish, you agree with that, so why don't we go ahead and do that.
Tara, thanks for being here and for your presentation.
Questions are off again.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're back. Okay. So first I want to acknowledge, as you have acknowledged, that there is certainly room for improvement in the way the city both manages the public asset of sidewalks and handles this process of noticing property owners. Mr. Bell brought up a couple issues that I'd like some clarity on. First of all, he repeatedly stated, and I'll ask him about this, that there was no tripping hazard on his property. And I can only assume that that's because there were no gaps in the sidewalk or what do you call it when the... I need to get this terminology straight. So there's a gap, and then there's a...
There's a lip, and then there's spalling when it's sort of deteriorating.
Right. So were there or were there not half-inch differences in the sidewalk or gaps in the sidewalk?
From the inspector's determination, yes.
Okay.
That is why it would be a half-inch or greater. That is why you would get cited.
He also claimed that he received no notice that the repairs were going to commence, but you mentioned that that actually was a courtesy and not mm-hmm. a requirement. He also said that it wasn't true that he had had his appeal. I don't recall you asserting that he had had his appeal, but there was a time frame in which there was an opportunity for an appeal, and maybe that's what we were...
That's correct.
Referring to? Okay.
Yeah. I do know that he appeared before City Council twice, but I believe it was for public testimony and not an actual appeal.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, like I said, I want to acknowledge that this process has a lot of room for improvement. We are, in fact, looking at several issues, but for the purposes of today... Has Mr. Bell now received an itemized bill and an explanation of the charges?
Yes, he received that in, I believe it was September.
And how would you respond to the assertion that because there are other sidewalk hazards in the city, whether they're on private or public property, that are worse than the hazards on Mr. Bell's property, that the repairs shouldn't have been required?
The answer would probably be in the fact that we are now in a program where it is complaint-driven, and sadly there are other sidewalks that may be in worse shape. We have to triage them based on the information that we receive from the public. And when those spots are identified, they end up getting put on the list, and we go through and conduct the sidewalk inspection and survey.
Yeah. And I do think in most cases a complaint-driven system tends to be inequitable. Mm-hmm. With this one, I would like to think that we are hitting the most dangerous spots, but that's dependent on who feels entitled, who knows how to contact the city and initiate this kind of inspection, and who feels entitled to complain, and that's where the issue lies. I would love if we were able to really triage our sidewalks, starting with the absolute worst and working our way down. We've got thousands of miles of sidewalks. I don't know how realistic that is, but we are working on a more kind of rational and equitable system.
Correct.
Mayor. Commissioner Hardesty, then Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. Who repaired Mr. Bell's sidewalks?
I believe the contractor was called Sidewalk Solutions.
And was that a company hired by the city to repair that sidewalk?
That's correct.
And are there some standards that you use to pick contractors who go out and repair sidewalks on the city's behalf?
Yes.
And did this company meet that standard?
Yes.
When I look at the pictures, it looks like the repair looks worse than it looked before the repair happened. And so what is the city's response when the repair was inadequate and now the sidewalk looks worse than it did before the repair happened?
Are you referring to the partial block replacement section?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's sticking up more now than it was when he was told that he had to repair it. So I'm just curious if the city contracted with someone to repair it.
Yeah.
What's the city's response when a repair is inadequate?
Sure, yeah. The work is guaranteed for 3 years, so we can go and fix that.
And have you done so?
We have not done so, no. I'm learning of this now, so we can take care of it.
I'd like to ask Mr. Bell a question, if I might. Should I wait for that, or are we going to bring him
back?
Let's
go ahead and take care of this panel, and then we'll bring Mr. Bell back. Commissioner Fish, you had a couple of questions for this panel.
How many miles of sidewalks do we have in the city? Just ballpark.
I'd say 9,000 ballpark.
9,000 miles?
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Okay. Is this the first appeal of its kind that we've had in the last 10 years?
Yes, to people's knowledge, we haven't had one in 20 years.
Right. I used to, for the bulk of my public service, I was a homeowner in Northeast Portland. I got one of these notices. I felt at the time that the sort of bedside manner, the language of the notice could be improved so that it was a little friendlier and that there could be a clearer statement of options. But everyone in my block understood that we could either have the city do the work or we could do it ourselves. So what we did is we pooled our resources, got a contractor in, did the work at a significant discount. So why is the city's cost so much higher than what a homeowner can get in the private market?
The answer would be the fact that there is that we're required to use two different contractors. Currently, we have two contractors that we use, and the work needs to be guaranteed for 3 years, so the pricing is a little bit different.
Okay. Has the ombudsman issued put in a position on this appeal?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. One of the things, Mayor, that I'm going to suggest, because we seem uniquely unqualified to hear this appeal, quite honestly, And while it's an important issue, there's a reason that we have a hearing officer at the City of Portland, and I'm going to suggest, because it appears that PCC 17.28 hasn't been updated in 100 years, that we take a look at that as one of the takeaways from this hearing, and we provide a more robust hearing. I think if, let me just speak for myself because I went through this. If I had the choice between going to City Council to appeal and put photographs before you or go to a hearing officer, I'd choose a hearing officer. I would feel like I had more a more focused appeal, clearer rights, and then whatever appeal rights I have coming out of that. So I hope that one of the things we do is for future Mr. Bells, we update PCC 1728 and we make it mandatory that you go to a hearings officer. And we don't have the capacity to handle hundreds of these if they start becoming a regular feature, nor do I think we're qualified. Again, I appreciate the questions that Commissioner Hardesty asked. They were on my list. So the appellant says the improvements were not necessary. You've provided us with information that they were necessary. He said, Mr. Bell has said that he does not receive adequate cost breakdown. That has been corrected, and he now has a cost breakdown. He also said he did not get all the required notices. From what I have seen in this hearing, he got more notices than he got. That you have documented that he got adequate notices of the work that was to be done if he did not do it. And so the question before us is, and you've already given a discount off the bill. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, all right. So that's all I need for now. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Just following up on the city's contractor, is it true that the contractor that you select has to pay prevailing wage?
I would imagine so, yes.
So that might contribute to the cost as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any financial assistance other than financing or the financing option? Is there any financial assistance for low-income homeowners?
There is not at this time, but as I mentioned before, in partnership with Commissioner Udaly's office, we are exploring those alternative financing options.
Great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And is there an appeal other than to City Council?
Not in a formal appeal.
If I may.
Legal counsel.
Thank you. Commissioner, there is an appeal through a writ of review if Mr. Bell should so choose. So once counsel makes its determination, he can utilize a writ of review and go to circuit court.
Ah, but there isn't a lower, within the city, there isn't a previous appeal. That's helpful clarification.
This is, yes, it comes to you, yes, it goes to the auditor's office, and then if Mr. Bell is dissatisfied with the remonstrance he receives, then the appeal is to counsel.
Okay, then I have a further question for the city attorney, and that is, can I ask Matt Grum, the former chief of staff for Commissioner Saltzman, a question?
I'm sure you can.
Recognizing that Commissioner Udaly was not in charge of transportation when all this was done. Because what normally happens is if somebody's dissatisfied with the Bureau's decision, they complain to the Commissioner's office. Were those complaints made at the time, Mr. Grum?
Absolutely. Matt Grum with Portland Bureau of Transportation currently. Yes, Mr. Bell actually came in the office. We met with him, and he explained his situation, and I pursued that with the Ombudsman's Office of how this would work. Again, this had not happened in my history at City Hall, and we then modeled this appeal process before us now.
Ah, so you didn't have any legal option to take care of it within your office?
No, by the time it had all been done, the work had been done, the bill was there, and so it was trying to maneuver where in the code this would work, and that's why we're here before you today.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly.
Colleagues, before we move on, I just want to speak to the question that's come up around why council is reviewing a sidewalk appeal. As has been mentioned, this is the first time in 20 years, maybe ever, that we've had an appeal of this nature, and that is because there is a largely unknown piece of code that gives the right to come to council but does not provide the guidelines for how to make the appeal or how to conduct the appeal procedurally. Now that that's come to our attention, my office will be working with the city attorney to identify a better way with more clarity to address appeals of this nature, which will likely include referring these issues to the hearings officer.
Good. I appreciate that. Yeah. I just had a couple of quick questions. Thank you, Matt. I think you're off the hook. Thank you. What is the current standard? I believe you stated it, but I want to hear a restatement. What is the current standard for determining which sidewalks actually are investigated and then ultimately tagged?
So it's a complaint-driven system. So if we receive a complaint of a hazard, we go out and investigate that complaint, and then we do the entire block face.
Okay, very good. And is it your contention now that the bill is focused solely on work that has been done on Mr. Bell's property?
Yeah, on the sidewalk abutting his property, yes.
Okay, is that in dispute?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, thank you. And then the question about whether or not he already had an appeal, that seems like that's a matter of interpretation. Is that a fair statement?
I don't believe he had an appeal. I think he just gave public testimony, and this is his first appeal.
Okay, great. So he may be using the word appeal in a slightly different way than we're thinking about it as a legal process. Mm. Okay, very good. Thank you. Those are my questions. Commissioner Hardesty, you wanted to bring Mr. Bell back. Is that
yes,
correct?
Please.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Bell, it looks like there were about, let me go back to your pictures, there were about six pieces of concrete that were replaced. Is that about right? How many would you say were replaced?
I think there's slightly more than six. I'd have to, here. If you're referring to the itemized portion is what I was sort of talking about when they go over your property lines and they're taking off a little section, you know, a bit of money for going over one property line and then a bit of money going over another property line. How do you know how much each thing cost? It felt so random. And then when you're this overarching sort of larger bill and there's work that's not done, how do you know what portion of that? There's no way to really no, for sure. But the number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see that you're seeing six.
Just where the white spots are, right, is where they did the repairs. Am I accurate?
It goes around the corner, too.
Ah.
So,
but you're not responsible for, they're not charging you for the repairs that were done around the corner.
There is one. It's an interesting one, too, because it's part of this whole, this. You can see where this is marked out, where the arrows are pointing at a particular square. I don't even know what's wrong with that square. There are lines poured, when they pour concrete, they make lines. And there are lines that are outlining this square that they're cutting out. There's a line on one side that they didn't cut out. This would be on your left side. And on the right side, that line wasn't good enough. You can see here, this is
so this little piece here is the piece that they said was the problem, the hazard. Is that correct?
Yes, that was removed. So two were removed on that side of my property. One that was a former bus stop in the grass strip they removed from the bill. How they determined that amount of money, I have no idea. And the property line is marked. There's like a metal stake in the ground that you can just see like right where the property line is. It wasn't like a, you know, it was easy to notice. This particular square, yeah, it has a line there. Like I'm looking at this picture right now. In the foreground, it's the same line that's right outside this building. It defines where a patch is poured, and it allows it to expand and contract slightly. It is not a tripping hazard whatsoever, or would any wheeled device would be able to clearly, easily go over it as they would any sidewalk in front of this building here.
And my last question, Mr. Bell, did you receive an itemized bill?
Itemized is what I'm talking about with itemized. They'll say, like, we paid this much for cement or to replace your squares. We did this much to not do your curbs. There's no way to know individually each how much it costs to do something like this. And it normally wouldn't matter. That would not be a concern until they start removing things. They've built it on somebody else's property. And how do you determine, oh, we're going to knock a couple hundred bucks off? And I'm supposed to feel good about that. It's like, to me, it raised more questions. It's like, well, what are you guys doing? Like, if they built a garage or a fence on somebody else's property, it would be a huge problem.
Thank you, Mayor. I have my questions answered.
Very good. Anything else for Mr. Bell?
What was the original bill?
It was just short of $7,000 is what they quoted me as.
And what is the current bill?
I believe it's $4,800.
Okay, so that's a little more than a couple hundred bucks. That's been
it came in slightly under to begin with.
Yeah, and then
It definitely came in there. That was like their sort of overestimate. Like, this is what it's going to cost. So then there was one that was slightly below that, and then it just kind of kept. Here's another few hundred dollars. Here's another few mm-hmm. hundred dollars.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Mayor,
this Commissioner Fish.
I'm starting to be concerned. We have the Technology Oversight Committee here. These are citizens who have taken time away from their work schedules to give us an update. And I don't know how long this hearing is going to continue, but I think it's terribly unfair to keep them waiting much longer to do their work. Otherwise, we're asking them to give up an entire morning.
I'll entertain a motion.
No, we have to take time.
Well, no. The question
oh, you're
now
right.
is
we do.
Well, the question now is, what testimony do we take? Because in a land use matter, we take testimony that the appellant supplies.
Let's hear from legal counsel.
This is a public hearing, and so we determined that it needed to be opened up for public testimony, and that's why it's different than the land use hearing, which has the procedure set forth. So it's slightly different.
So per Commissioner Fish's question, obviously, we don't just want open testimony on the state of affairs of sidewalks in the city of Portland. That could go on for 5 days. Is there some limit or brackets around what we are asking for testimony on?
I think it would be limited to this issue before council today.
Whether we should accept or deny the appeal and why?
Correct. Well, what you have to do, Commissioner, under the code, is you have to make findings and then make a determination based on those findings. So, and the findings per Portland City Code, I think, need to be based on whether the improvement work was required by code, whether the conditions required the improvements, whether the required improvements are consistent with code and city specifications, and whether the improvement charges are calculated as provided by code, and determine the extent of actions or adjustments which are necessary to bring the proposed assessment into compliance with code and program standards. That's, I was saying, if anybody wants to come.
Great.
That,
well, this will be scintillating. And yes, what yes. I'd suggest we do, first of all, let me just say, Commissioner Fish, I strongly agree with your earlier proposal. And it sounds like Commissioner Udaly is already working on it with the Transportation Bureau to have these hearings not come to the full City Council, but instead come to a qualified hearings officer who's steeped in the technical knowledge about how these things work. So that's sort of my knee-jerk reaction to this. How many people do we have signed up, Carla?
I originally did not have a sign-up sheet.
People would like to testify on this matter? I see one. I see two. Potentially three, maybe four. Why don't we say 2 minutes each? Why don't you call those who you have, and then we'll have the others come on up.
Okay. Did I not get my rebuttal? Was that not happening?
Oh, Mr. Bell, you can leave. I'm sorry.
But I didn't get my rebuttal. I thought I was supposed to get
Oh, you'd like to say more?
Well, I thought I got my rebuttal. I was just answering questions.
Legal counsel, here's a question I have. Commissioner Hardesty has a document that shows the appellant giving a rebuttal. The document I was provided this morning does not show that. Does he get a rebuttal or does he not?
The rebuttal was for the Bureau because they started the case. I think the determination you have to make is whether the work is it's on the Bureau. You're looking at, did the Bureau properly need to make the work? Did they do the work? And then was the bill appropriate? So because the burden is on the Bureau to bring that information to you, then that's why they would get a rebuttal.
Okay. Before we send Mr. Bell away, are there any further questions for Mr. Bell?
Very good. Well, it's not really Thank a question. You. I just have to sort of address that even just the images.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bell, because this is a legal hearing, I have to stick to the outline that's been provided by legal counsel. I apologize, but that's what I've got to do.
So it's a question, in the form of a question, then, is what I have to say?
No. I think we're ready to move on to public testimony. Thank you. Appreciate it. First two, please, Carla.
Yes, I have Joe Walsh and Mary Sipe.
Very good. Thank you. And who are the other two people? Could so that's Mr. Walla.
Did you want to explain?
Could we get those two names and then let's close the list?
Good morning. My name is
Robert
Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I have kind of a unique perspective on this because now that I'm restricted to a wheelchair or the scooter, I am becoming really aware of sidewalks. Like you are not aware of sidewalks. Every bump I'm aware of. I drink coffee often on 60th and Division, right in this area. I have not felt any great urgency to even slow down the scooter. So I'm not sure. I can't see from the photographs where the problem is. It looks like it may be a half an inch rise. Well, if you continue down Division, you will see sidewalks that are 2 inches high. But they're commercial. Why aren't they being attacked? I have an automatic reaction when a homeowner is attacked and commercial people get away with it. I have to go into the street sometimes on Division. This sounds like the worst possible program I've ever heard of. Is it under transportation? Is that what this is under? It falls under their jurisdiction. You have to revisit it. Somebody in charge of transportation, why don't you look at the rules and say, you know, if we haven't looked at the rules in 20 years or 30 years, maybe we ought to go back and look at them. This guy, I think, in my opinion, only, just mine, being screwed. Okay. Get a program that goes down Division, goes down the streets, and says,
Thank
hey, you got to fix your sidewalk.
Thank you.
And stop.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. No, that's my responsibility. No, that is my responsibility.
You're
out of
speech.
Order. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you.
Sorry.
My name is Mary Seif, and I'll keep this as quick as I can. I simply want to support Commissioner Fish's recommendation that these types of appeals go to the Code Hearings Office. As you'll recall, I have been involved in a hearing on the noise variance permit that you had about a year ago. And the same thing, in 2014, the Noise Review Office made a recommendation that the appeals for the noise variance permits go to the Code Hearings Office. That issue was taken up by the Noise Task Force that Commissioner Fritz convened and never went anywhere. And then back again in August of 2017, when Paul Van Orden gave his report on the noise control program to City Council, that was on his list of five priorities that he was focusing on, was to change the appeals for noise variance permits to go to the Code Hearings Office.
Mary, this is a legal hearing, so I really need you to rein it into the issue before
Well, so
the
anyhow, I'm
Thank
just
you.
Saying as an example, I think that that recommendation is a good one, and I would
for
support
or
it.
For against the item in front of us?
Actually, I am trying to think of which. What does four mean? Does four mean I support Mr. Bale? Or does I support the appeal? Yeah. Okay.
Great.
So anyhow, that's it.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Last two, please.
Mr. West, sign up. And if you decided not to speak. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
The list has been closed.
They held it for me, thank you.
I don't write.
Hello, my name is Robert West, and what I wanted to bring up is that the city apparently did the work against the guy's wants, and even after the city did the work, it's either not in compliance or almost not in compliance. Which I think is really interesting. If you take your car into a shop, and they don't do the work right. You take your car back and you say you want it fixed. If you pay a painter to paint your house, he paints it white, and you come back and it's black. Of course, you're going to tell the painter, "Hey, we agreed to a white house." Okay, city sat there and so-called fixed his property.